Hey, everybody. Yes. Hey. Woo. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. As one YouTube commenter said this week, Chris, he's only in it for the intros. And so am I. I'm only in it for the intros. My name is Jason Rothman. This is the number one AdWords podcast. My partner is Chris Schaefer. Chris, how are you doing this week?
I'm here mainly for the intros, and then I just get sucked in by the quality. That's what it's all about. And I have to say, Jason, maybe next week we can get like a earth-shattering yes, but maybe not.
I think possibly I'm going to have to save up my voice because I want to introduce the new listeners, the new viewers to the yes, because Chris, we grow every week, but I think this week the numbers are just going to go boom.
Boom.
And we're going to get a lot of Facebook advertisers, or should I say former Facebook advertisers, because your platform is falling apart.
Yeah.
Your platform is switching every week. Your platform is taking people's data and giving it to anybody and everybody. Your platform has headlines like people dropping off Facebook, has headlines like advertisers not wanting to be on Facebook. Welcome to Google. Mm. Welcome to the good guys. Welcome to the thing that is going to be here till the end of time, the search engine. Chris, I'm just kidding. We like our Facebook audience out there, but man, are they having a tough week. Chris, I got sucked into the Facebook. David Shapiro pulled me in. It started working for me, but now I'm back with you, Chris. I'm bitter. I'm a bitter ex with Facebook. I was getting some seriously good leads for like multiple months, and then all of a sudden they just change up their platform, and like I'm not getting impressions anymore, and I'm lucky I have my day job. But if you are new because you're wanting to branch out from Facebook, welcome to the Paid Search Podcast. We talk a lot about Google AdWords, and today we are talking to roofers, all the roofers out there. We have this series, Chris, where we do deep dives on industries. A few weeks ago, we did the car dealership industry. And if you want to see your industry talked about, if you want us to do a deep dive, just leave us a comment and we'll add it to our list. But today we are doing roofers, Chris, a key industry on Google AdWords. It's where people go to look for roofers. It's a competitive market. It's hot. You'll see all seven ad slots filled up, first page, second page. Chris, just start me off here. Do you have roofing clients? What's your overall take on the industry with Google AdWords? Is it easy? Does it work? What's going on?
I've had many roofing clients and I have some now, and it's never something I'm celebrating when I get a new roofing client because it's not easy.
Wow. Keep selling it. Keep selling it.
It's not easy to do because it's difficult. It's when there's a lot of people in the industry and the normal doesn't work and you have to be creative, you know, that means extra work. I'm here to make things easier for myself, and roofers don't do that, but that's okay. You know, I get paid for
something. Why is it so tough? Is it because it's competitive? You know, we're going to talk about what the keywords are. Roofing companies in Memphis. What's so tough about that?
Well, for me, the difficulty is that when a campaign can no longer be viable because a budget doesn't meet a minimum,
right,
that's when I don't like to work in the industry. So what I'm saying is if you can't be successful with $500 and you have to have $2,000, $3,000 in order to try and be successful, that's when I don't enjoy working in it, is because it suddenly becomes more about the numbers and the strength of a company's budget rather than the creativity of the ads and the keywords. I mean, to be clear, I just don't like working when suddenly it's about power and spend and budget and bids.
If you have a $1,000 a month budget, which you work with a lot and you can do a lot within a lot of industries, and the cost per click gets up to $20, you're dealing with 50 clicks a month.
Yeah.
50 exactly. clicks a month, it's not a lot to work with. So I see what you're saying, but we do both have roofing clients. There's a lot of listeners who service roofers. There's a lot of roofing company listeners. And if, by the way, roofers, if you're on the YouTube channel, this is called a tie. That's what's around my neck. In case you guys knew what that didn't know what that was, because I've never seen you wear one on an estimate. It's called a tie. People in business wear these around their necks. It's called
the salesman does. The salesman does. I've seen very nice dressed salesmen.
I've seen a lot of stained polo shirts. And guys, as a guy who stains his shirt with fast food as well, all you roofing salesmen on your estimates, don't wear white. Just get a darker shirt, and then you don't have to totally give up when you get your Carl's Jr. ketchup all over it.
Tell you what, next week, more fashion advice from Jason next week, please.
Now, Chris, let's get into this deep dive for roofers. We've broken it up into all the common topics. We're not going to explode a lot of minds here because it is the same principles that we always talk about, but we're specifically talking about roofers. So I want to start off with ad copy. I've got my own take on it, my own guiding principle for ad copy for roofers on search engines. What is your general thoughts when it comes to ad copy? What do you generally do?
So for roofers, because this is such a localized industry, for me, one of the top things I try and do is really use geographic terminology to its fullest. So, you know, I always want to have something that is phrasing specifically to their area. It's not like a lot of industries. You want someone that's going to be there. They know that people that can service their area. They want to be able to get a quote quickly. And you don't want to deal with someone that's all the way across the Metroplex. You know, you want someone that's going to be nearby. So I like to use geographic terms where possible. I also like to use percentages or numbers in my ads. That's something else I like to kind of differentiate my ads from other competitors.
So we're going to see some themes on this episode, Chris, and geo is definitely one of them. Now, when you say geography and local, are you talking about like if we are in, let's just use Houston. If we're in Houston and someone does a search like Houston roofers, you'll have Houston in the ad, but they're in, say, Southwest Houston in Sugar Land, part of the Houston Metro. If someone's in Sugar Land and they probably can go their whole life without driving across Houston to Northeast Houston or whatever, you want those ads to say Sugar Land roofers.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm not referring to larger terms. I'm referring to more specific suburb terms, you know, something that's going to really pop with the person when they say roofing company in Sugar Land as opposed to roofing company in Houston. So one's right. really going to drive the attention and one is going to kind of fall in the fray with all the others. So that's all determined by the person's location and the way that the person searches. So it doesn't work all the time, but geographically, it's really important to differentiate yourself from companies that are just advertising area-wide versus right. specific community.
I like that geo tip, Chris. And my main guiding principle with the ad copy is roofers have to understand how their industry is looked at. We all know the great roofing companies in our towns, the family-owned business that's been there for generations that advertises on the local news, and we all know them and they look like trustworthy companies. But there are a lot of fly-by-night people in the roofing industry where there's a storm, a hailstorm, and they just come into town. And people are nervous about that. They're scared because roofing is a huge purchase, a huge event in their life, and they don't want to deal with some fly-by-night company that's faking it. So I try to have ad copy that stands out from the fly-by-night guys and really hits home that, yes, we're local and we're established. So over 35 years in business, serving Memphis since 1978, Better Business Bureau, A-plus rating if you have that, family owned and operated. And one final one I like, Chris, which we do for a couple clients, because it's such a fly-by-night shady industry in some aspects, that's how people look at it sometimes, we like to put the actual license number in our ad copy.
Nice.
And this wasn't even my idea. It was a client's idea. They were like, hey, we really sell a lot of our customers on the fact that we are fully licensed and above board and established. We want to have that in the ad copy before they even click on the ad, that we can draw their eye and they can know this is an established company. We have the license to back it up. And the other guys that just say, get a quote now, we stand out from them. So that's our main guiding principles with the ad copy. Just a small other couple things here, Chris. I really like the testimonial site link for roofers. I like doing a structured snippet of the types of roofing they do or the types of services they do, commercial, residential. Finally, this is really big in home service industries, Chris. The little review stars in the ads, those orange stars, it's a very complex thing, but you have to basically get over 150 reviews or something like that from review companies that are certified and work with Google officially. And we'll have a link in the show notes on where that's all located. It'll be a link to the Google Help article. But if you can get those reviews with those companies, once you do that, Google sees that, and then potentially your star rating can show up in the ads, and that can really help you stand out. And I've been told by people at Google, Chris, that they've seen a 17% bump in click-through rate when those stars show up. So you can bid lower, show up lower, and still get a good click-through rate. That's our ad copy, Chris. Talk about the importance of negative keywords. We talk about it all the time. We know they're important. But why in this industry is it so especially important to be on top of those negatives?
Yeah, this is absolutely important. Number one, what we talked about at the very beginning, clicks for roofing companies are expensive. We'll talk about CPC and bids in a little bit, but because these clicks aren't cheap, negative keywords are going to be really important. And what I've found is people are really specific about what they're looking for in their roofers. So, you know, they'll do geographic searches, they'll search for the type of roof or the certain type of damage. But what you really want to avoid are the people that are doing that research roofing information. Can I use a tarp on my roof? You know, what type of tarp should I use? Anything with the word tarp. You don't want to exclude stuff like that. It's just junk. There's a lot of, you know, home improvement type of searches, Home Depot, Lowe's, these type of terms. Exclude that kind of stuff. You know, and I know, Jason, you have other ideas on negative keywords you would definitely recommend for people to use.
Right. In terms of those industry searches with research, where do you come down on cost and price? Because that is someone looking for a roofer, but given the cost per click cost here, do you generally add cost and price as negatives, or do you allow those to get clicks from those for roofers?
There's very few times that I'm against having cost and price and pricing, because I often think of someone doing a search for cost and price mm-hmm. as the same thing as someone doing a search for quote, which I okay. like for service providers. I like searches for quotes.
That's because, someone who's going to convert at least.
Yeah. You know, this is off topic, but we're talking about B2B. You know, for me, I work a lot in the B2B, and
as do I, by the way.
As Jason does, and I'm sure does a phenomenal job. We can compare numbers later, but
we can.
For the B2B industry, they have to get a certain number of quotes, right. And not everybody is this strenuous on their roofing, but some people might need to just say, okay, I'm going to get 3 quotes for this roof. Right. I have this much insurance money that's going to cover it, but I want to get 2 quotes, 3 quotes. So they're just going to do searches for cost or price or quote. And right. I like them. I'm happy with them.
That's good to hear. The final kind of negative keywords to watch out for, I see a lot of gutters and roofing searches together, Chris. So you got to figure out if you want to be the company that does gutters, if you do them or not, and then repair. Do you put on new roofs? Do you only want new roof customers? Do you want to only advertise for new roofing jobs? Or do you also want those repair searches? A lot of my clients, they don't want the repair, Chris, because yes, some repair jobs will be good, but then some are like so small that it's not worth advertising on. So the word repair, sadly, I've seen a lot of like RV roof and car roof searches.
Yes.
So I like adding RV, trailer, car, truck as negatives.
Mobile.
Yeah, mobile home. You want to be careful with that word home.
There you go, home.
but you can definitely add the word mobile as a negative. My final negatives to really watch out for, Chris, are competitor names. If you don't want to be showing up on competitor searches, and most roofers won't, every single competitor in town, their actual business name probably includes the words roofing company or roofers. So if you're targeting roofing company phrase match or roofers phrase match or whatever, you're going to show up on a lot of competitors. So I like to be preemptive about that. I like to ask my clients who their biggest competitors are in town, names that people would search for. I go to Google, I search roofers in Memphis, and then write down the brand names of the top 50 or whatever on the first 5 pages, Bob, AAA Movers, Big Jim's Moving Company. And then I add Big Jim as a negative. I add AAA, I add Bob as negatives to block those, because there are a lot of competitor searches that come through. Now, Chris, those are the negatives in terms of what keywords you like to target with roofers. It's really not that complicated. There's not too many ways people can search for it. But at the same time, it takes a lot of discipline to accept that and not try to be an all-star AdWords guru or anything and get all this long tail stuff. So what do you generally stick to when it comes to keywords for roofers?
Yeah. So of course, as I already mentioned, geographic indicators are important. You know, I don't really like just terms like roofing company or roofers. Geographic indicators don't always have to include names of cities. They can also be zip codes. They can be words like near me or near, or the word in geographic city. So in Houston, in Sugarland, in whatever. So geographic terms are important to me. And then I like to break things out by type. That's something else that I focus on, because commercially, there are going to be different types of roofs that are going to be searched for that the customer is not going to want to fix or replace, right? Certain business style commercial roofs, flat roof, you know, that's not going to be a home. You're going to look for certain types of roofing you want to focus on. And some people do searches that way. What about you? What's some of your favorite kind of little hints and tips,
Chris,
on
keywords? I was reviewing my search terms today to get ready for the show for a couple of roofing clients. All I see is geo stuff. Roofing companies near me, roofing companies in my area, roofers in Memphis, roofers Memphis, Tennessee. And that's all I see. The only thing that I see besides the geo stuff is commercial. And of course, those can be some huge jobs. And that can really lead to a ton, because say there's a McDonald's franchisee that owns like 7 McDonald's. He might need roof repair on that one McDonald's, but now he has a roofing company, and potentially that's 7 commercial roofs over however many years. Yeah. So commercial is something you definitely want to be on. But yeah, near me in the geo searches, that's primarily what I see.
How about emergency or storm? You like to use those? Do you find those to be useful? Do you leave them on all the time? Do you only run them whenever a storm is happening or what?
To be honest, I have not run those emergency and storm keywords. I would hope if someone does a search like emergency roofers in Memphis, we're still going to be there. But I have not made specific ad copy for that, but that's a great idea. Do you see traffic when that happens?
Okay. Yeah, it's when there's a storm that blows through, hail, leak, emergency, stuff like that. And the fact is, if you look at a lot of roofing companies, you'll see that they say 24-hour roofers, just like plumbers. You know, they'll insist that they are 24/7 plumbers, but you call them at 9 o'clock on Friday, they won't be there till the next morning. They'll answer the phone anytime, but they don't actually mean the plumbers will be around at 2 a.m. You know, that just doesn't really happen.
You know how much that would suck if hail or something causes your roof to start leaking during a storm, or you find out your roof has a leak during a storm on a Friday night?
Oh, yeah. Sure. It seems like it always happens to me right whenever everybody's, you know, the week's winding down, or like a Sunday morning when nobody's going to answer their phone or something, you know? But I've definitely found storm, hail, you know, leak, emergency. Now, quick tip here, keep those separate. Don't throw those in with everything else. Keep those separate so that you can control those, because what you want to do is you want to check the quality of the traffic to know that the storm is doing this, the emergency terms are doing this, the geographic terms are doing this, and you want to be able to be sure that you're not just throwing money at everything and seeing what sticks. You want to be able to control the quality and the type of traffic that's
coming. And you don't have to be extreme with your organization. They can be in the same campaign.
Sure.
But have one ad group called emergency, have one ad group called storm, have one ad group called leak, have one ad group called Memphis, if that's your geo. Now, Chris, let's talk about cost here. And before we talk about cost per click, just a quick note about budgets. A lot of our clients, they say they want to spend $1,000 a month or $3,000 a month in other industries, and they just sit there and the budget stays the same all the time. But one thing you and I have found, because roofing is so popular when it comes to storms, it gets into such high demand that the search volume can change on a dime with the roofing industry. So both you and I have clients where if a storm comes through town, we're adding budget temporarily. So the warning here is to be very flexible about your budget and be ready to increase it when a storm comes in, because there's going to be a lot of search volume. But Chris, the biggest thing I hear about the roofing industry on AdWords is the competitiveness. And a lot of people get discouraged by that. But why don't you tell me what you're seeing with cost per click, and then I'll tell you what I see with it.
Yeah, so you know, I'm not going to talk specifically about what client I work with or where they're at, but I have one client that's in a very old metropolitan area that has been around for a long time. So there's lots of old homes, lots of new homes, very rich homes, and you know, large homes. And we see cost per click to get them around the second position, first position, kind of jumping between those two, in the $20 to $25 range per click.
Wow.
So, and for me, I like for my ads for roofers to show up pretty high. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, you can talk more about CPC and average position, but I like for them to show up pretty high, because a lot of people, you know, will get quotes from the top two they see on AdWords, you know, whichever ones grab their attention. And you're going to have a better chance of doing that closer to the top. When it comes to cost per click, the fact is you run out of money really quick. And one thing I had with this client is we were running out of money so fast because we were trying to maintain a good position and being competitive. You know, the CPC was so high. What we actually do is we only advertise 4 days a week. And I did not decide that at the beginning. This is critical. We ran 7 days a week, but our search impression share was so low, we were getting, they rarely saw their own ads. You know, it's just, we're spreading our budget so thin across those 7 days. I said, you know what? We do better on weekdays, Monday through Thursday. And then we just turned everything off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just no ads at all on the weekend. And for this client, it worked really well. And it was a great way to take a budget that was too small for 7 days a week and make it pretty sufficient for just 4 days a week.
Right. I like that. And the tough thing about this industry is that there's so many searches and the cost per click is a little bit high that a smaller budget can run out quickly. But at the same time, that's a bit of a blessing because it gives you more room to work around with your schedule and your area. And you can really choose the exact places and times you want to run to get the best results. Chris, you have a client in a rich area with mansions and stuff. I have a client more in a poor area with a lot of meth. So it's a little bit different situation where I'm at with this client, and our cost per click comes in at $11 to $15.
That's nice.
And we go for position 2 to 3. So we're not trying to go for position 1. We're just trying to spend. In one case, the budget's only $1,000. In another case, the budget is $5,000. The $1,000 budget is in a nice area. It's in an upper class area. And they are able to get away with $11 cost per click because it's only a $1,000 budget. And we're running 30 days a month, like all month. So we can bid low, have a lower click-through rate, a lower position, but still get the 100 clicks or whatever it takes to spend $1,000 a month at roughly an $11 cost per click. The other one, $5,000 a month, the cost per click is more like $15. So it's a little bit less than the super rich area where you're advertising for the client you spoke of. But I just want to say, just because it is competitive, it doesn't mean that you don't want to show up and try to play. Like, we're getting away with a $15 cost per click. That's not super cheap. But at the same time, you get leads. Some of those leads turn into big jobs and it works. So we go for position 2 or 3 and we're able to get away with $15. Chris, I know you're not big on messing around with demographics. We've had our issues before. We've had our fights about it. But in this case, you do agree. People can live without the 18 to 24-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For something like this, if I look at my demographic distribution, it's going to be much older rather than younger. So, yeah, I certainly have no problem. And to be clear, what Jason's referring to is the ability in the audiences tab to block certain age groups. So what Jason's advocating is that you block 18 to 24 age group.
Negative. Yeah, just exclude them from the campaign.
Exclude campaign wide. And the reasoning for this is because 18, 24 year old, they're not homeowners. Probably in that, most people in that age group are going to be renting. So it's going to be pretty rare. And keep in mind, Jason, we're probably only talking about 10% of your potential clicks that are coming in. So it's not a huge, you know, this is a very minor type of cut.
Yeah. And the other demographic thing to keep in mind is income targeting. One of the features of the new interface is that the income targeting is very nicely set up compared to the way it was in the old interface. And I do actually, Chris, prefer it in the new one. So when I have to make an income targeting change, I go to either editor or the new interface. And you taught me that the income targeting from Google is based on zip code data. So if you target the upper income, you'll be in upper income zip codes where they have bigger houses. And I would think if you're a roofer, you want bigger houses as opposed to small houses. So you can play around with bids when it comes to different income levels, trying to get more clicks from the people that are in more expensive zip codes, more upper income zip codes with the bigger houses. Now, Chris, final two things here we're going to talk about just quickly on remarketing first. Chris, you watch the cable news. You're a worried family man there in the big city, and you want to be stressed out 3 times a day when it comes on.
Right before I go to bed. Sure.
Well, when you wake up, when you have your coffee, the noon broadcast in case anything happened while you're working from home. And then 10 p.m. right before you go to bed, you want to know about murders and rapes and all that kind of stuff.
I need a good storyline for my dreams so that I can wake up stressed and ready to go for the day. So.
Yes. Especially the ones about the teachers at the schools. It's like... Oh, people, come on. But anyway, one thing we always see as local news connoisseurs is a lot of sponsorship and advertising by local roofing companies. So all I'm saying here, Chris, I'm not picking a fight with the local TV guys like I had before. Fat, slovenly, lazy, milking that cash cow for decade local news TV guys. I'm not picking a fight. I'm just saying if you're a roofer out there spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on TV, keep doing it because it is working. I mean, people do build up a brand that way. But you should also be on remarketing, Chris.
Yeah.
And you could be racking up hundreds of thousands of impressions a month or millions for not that much money. And you can just really get a message out there and build up a bunch of branding.
Yeah, we've been talking about getting quality of traffic. We've been talking about, you know, showing up first position, second position, the keywords you use, all this strategy. But the fact is, when it comes down to remarketing, throw all that out the window. It just is about awareness and branding. Someone comes to your website, you just spent $10 to $25 for that click. It's worth maybe spending a few more bucks, possibly, if they even click on your ad, to show them your brand over the next couple of months. Because who knows what that could lead to. So remarketing is not necessarily about lead generation. It's about branding and awareness. And for the cost that it comes in for compared to how much you're spending in Google search, there's really no question about it.
Hey, Chris, I can't get on here and tell you exactly what spending $2,000 to $3,000 a month, I'm talking big, remarketing budget is going to do for one of the biggest roofers in town. Like, I can't give you exact metrics. We may not see a lot of direct phone calls, but I can guarantee you, if you spend $1,000 to $3,000 a month on remarketing and make it a serious part of your display and TV kind of budget, good things are going to happen. More people are going to know you.
What was the amount you said spent?
$1,000 to $3,000 a month.
$1,000 to $3,000 on remarketing.
Now, Chris, I'm not talking about the smaller roofers. I'm talking about the bigger roofers that are spending $30,000 on TV a month.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if your website gets tens of thousands of hits a month and you are spending tens of thousands of dollars on cable, you can have an audience big enough and have the budget big enough to spend $1,000 to $3,000 a month on remarketing.
I'm going to take it even further and say, Jason, my client in the large metro area that is largely successful and doing great and very happy with their handsome AdWords manager, their remarketing campaign spent $31 in the past 30 days. So I'd say $1,000 is a lot.
Chris, here's the thing. You know, people like when we beat up on each other. They like when it gets real. Everyone should know we always make up and cuddle. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't hold a grudge. I spend hundreds of dollars, sometimes over $1,000, on my remarketing.
What?
Yes. And Chris, this is something that's holding you back. You and Walt, everybody else that comes on this show.
Name calling now.
Yes. You guys, you think of remarketing. I have never talked to Walt about remarketing. I just need another name to
throw out there.
He's
like, wait, why is my name in here?
He watches the show on Friday nights with his family when he drinks wine. And Walt, I know him on your big screen right now.
On a TV. That's right, on his TV.
He's throwing his wine at the TV. He's cursing in front of his kid. Walt, I'm sorry. That was uncalled for.
Don't do that.
I take it back. But Chris, I spend sometimes up to $1,000 a month on remarketing, okay? And the thing that's holding back some AdWords managers out there, I won't name any names, but I'm looking at one, is you guys, you have a problem with your bids, okay? With remarketing. I'm just going to put it out there. You have a problem with your bid. You're little cheapskates. You want to get away with 25-cent bids. Maybe if you go crazy, you'll bid it up to a dollar. Chris, I bid $12 sometimes on my remarketing.
Are you kidding me, dude?
No, I'm not, bro.
Okay, I don't bid 25 cents, but I bid $1.30. That's my average CPC.
That little 30 cent over a dollar gives you heartburn. I know it does. But Chris, I bid sometimes $12, and the cost per click ends up being $4,
$5. Tell me you put a max impression per user.
I don't. I just spray him. I just spray him.
You're horrible.
Chris, I get emails every week and Twitter messages from our listeners that show me screenshots of where my ad showed up. And I've got a great ad copy going this week that says, I'm lonely, as the headline, and it says, come to my website and learn about AdWords. But Chris, I'm just saying, dude, when you add that display impression share loss to ad rank column in there and look at it in the remarketing campaign, the bids sometimes make a huge difference and you can go big. And again, it has to be the right kind of roofer, the roofer with the huge budget, the roofer with the brand name, the roofer where thousands of people are coming to a site. But I can see it on your face. You're a little mad. Don't be mad, bro.
Just skeptical.
You're the one that questioned me. Okay. I put out $1,000 to $3,000 a month budget and you go, mine. So I'm going to be like those clients that send you a screenshot of their individual results. My client only spends $31. So I bet no one's ever spent over $100 on remarketing ever.
All right. Well, anyway, this is about roofers. Now we're getting into remarketing. So we'll have to save that for another day. But anyway, the point is you can decide what your approach is. I think we both agree remarketing is valuable. The expense is to be determined. But Jason, is that it? Have we delivered all the goods? Can we let the people go and let them make their roofing leads now?
Yes, I'm going to cut it off there. Should I give that final tip, Chris? You want me to?
Well, you know, I know you want, you always like to take it to the final step. And this is Jason's, I'd say we're going to stop the AdWords podcast. And this is now Jason's business sales.
Chris, you're just beefing with me this week. I just want to throw out a public service announcement to all the roofers out there.
Okay. Business people, salesmen, listen up. Jason, you have the floor.
Okay. I've worked with a traffic ticket lawyer. When someone gets a traffic ticket and they need a lawyer for that, they Google traffic ticket lawyer, they find the website, they call in, and they go with the guy. When someone needs bail bonds, they call in, they find the business, they go with that business. When someone needs a mover sometimes, Chris, they even will book the move on that first call. Yeah, let's do a move for later this month. Chris, don't question me on that. I've worked in a moving company. You get the right intake person there, bam, you can book them for later in the month. Not everyone, but some of them. But the roof, Chris, just speaking from my own experience, if I need a roofer, I'm not just going to go to Google, click on an ad, and schedule for 2 weeks from now. Like, I'm going to research the companies. I want to get multiple quotes. I want to get them out here to actually look at my roof. And so my public service announcement is, don't just think you're going to get conversions and then you're going to have more roofing jobs. Like, you actually have to work at the follow-up here. You got to keep track of who converted. You got to follow up with them. You got to schedule estimate appointments with your stained polo shirts. I'm just saying, don't give up on AdWords if you have a rough first month, and don't totally bash your AdWords manager saying these conversions are bad. No, the leads are not bad. The intake was bad. You've got to follow up on the lead. And when it comes to such a big thing as roofing, Chris, I just think that needs to be said that Google will get you started, get the leads in the door, but you still have to have an intake sales system, especially given the cost per click. So that's my little public service announcement. Chris says that doesn't have anything to do with Google AdWords because you know why? Because he doesn't want to take responsibility for that. He wants to tell his clients, hey, I'm the AdWords guy. I'm the Google partner guy. I did my job. You got, look at your search terms. Look at your search terms. Does it not say roofers in Memphis? Look at your search terms.
That's it. My voice gets high like that. And I, yeah, you know, I can only take responsibility for so long. If your business is failing. All right. So yeah, that's it. Well, thanks guys.
Yeah. Thanks guys. Let us know, Chris, I just want to tell people, let us know what industries you want to dig into. We have a lot of experience with different industries. And if you want to talk about e-commerce, don't write it.
Don't. That's not true. We can talk about that.
Chris, give us your patented Chris Schaefer. Go to the page. I don't care if you go to the page. Social media sucks. Close to the show. We all enjoy it.
I'm an excellent closer. Yeah. So paidsearchpodcast.com. We do other things and you can find out more on that site. Thanks for listening. Follow, tweet, blah, blah, blah. Don't care. Bye.